Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I had the great chance to take my wife on her birthday to Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
We went to Mobile, the one port, right?
Port of One
and the Canopy Prayer City.
Yes, Canopy of Prayer. April 29th, right?
Yeah, April 29th. Make sure you sign up for that. It's at canopy.one.
Yes, it is.
Canopy.one. Instead of .com, it's like .one.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to pray over the entire city. The mayor made a proclamation about that. You got to see. As a matter of fact, you can go back on our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel now. We're beginning, but also you can find it at vfntv.com. But listen to this. There was an exhibit there, and it was IMAX Theater, and it's called Water.
Hmm.
And it's in Africa, and it shows the journey of water. And it begins with the dry plains. It's deserts, and the elephants are walking for miles to get one mud puddle that they would dig through, and they're just all thirsty that, you know, a crocodile would be hiding out in a small little mud puddle. Why the elk, whatever, would come over there, and they start, and they would jump out, and that was their only chance for a meal. I mean, everything just got so dry, you know? And then all of a sudden, they show in this huge IMAX theater and all these dimensions, it began to rain. And then they show the water coming down the mountain, and then the stream, and the streams became, you know, rivers, and the rivers became, and all of a sudden, Africa just came alive. And all of a sudden, there was things blooming, and there was just, you know, elephants were all in the water everywhere, and hippopotamus, and all the animals were just living and thriving and giving birth, and all these things, because the water came.
Wow.
And then they showed the whole season to where it gets to the point where all of a sudden the water starts to dry up, then the plants start to dry up, and the population gets sparse, mills get sparse, you have to go further to be able to get water. And it's the cycle of water, what it's all about. What makes me think about the scripture, Isaiah 55:10-11. I mean, think about this. This is what it says. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I sent it for. I mean, you think about that. When you see this, you got to see this. It's IMAX. It's like God saying, just the way that desert was dry and it just seemed everything, life was sparse. But once water came, it brought life to everything. Do you know when God's word, his word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. When you read God's word and you hide his word in your heart, when you abide with God, it's like watering your soul. You know, all of a sudden your everything begins to grow in your life again. And a lot of people really want to do that, but they don't have a plan how to abide with God. Hmm. Jesus said this. He said, in John 15, he says, the Father is the gardener, that Jesus is the vine, and we're the branches, and we're called to grow. But we can only grow if we abide in his word. His word is water to our soul, which causes us to grow and to bear fruit. But he says we can't bear fruit unless we abide. So a lot of people want to abide, but they just don't really know how to do that. They just need a plan. It's all they need is a plan. Guess what? We have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. You can request your simple plan, simple abiding plan, and we'll send it to you right away in your email, so you'll have it instantly. It's iabide.org. When you get this, it's going to just encourage you and show you. I remember when I was talking about this plan, you know, Father God just showed up in a powerful way and embraced us, because there's so many simple things that we can do to abide with him, and some simple steps, and God begins to just water your life. And just like the life came to Africa during that season of rain, the life will come to you. He is the living word, the water of God. And so I want to encourage you that remembering the word of God, remembering what he said to you, the promises of God, and that you can read his word, and if he says it, that settles it, and you can hang on to that word.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if it seems dry everywhere else. You can hold on to that word, and we're seeing people right now that, you know, they're plotting and planning against our country. They're plotting and planning against our government.
Scheming.
They're scheming against God. How can we get God, you know, out of the schools? How can we get God out of America? I mean, they're scheming against God. And I think about Acts chapter 4, verse 25 through 26. And this is David, what David said, and they're talking about it. He says, "Why do nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one." And it's like, it's been happening, ever since the beginning of time in the garden, mm-hmm. Satan has been warring against and trying to war against God. And that's what you're seeing. So it's not unusual. The thing for us is to believe their lie and to surrender instead of saying, you know what? No matter what you're doing, God told me that his word waters my soul. God tells me if I preach his word, it'll change my community. It'll change my family. It'll change my culture. There's power. It's a living, active word of God. And also reminds me of Psalms 21:11, when he says, you know, though they plot evil against you, and they do that, and wicked schemes against you, he says, they cannot succeed. And if you study the word of God and you just look, that God doesn't let someone get one up on you if you're faithful. I mean, he's bigger than all. Look how many times Israel, the enemies tried to attack Israel. And it's like, this is a little country that would fit in just New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm reminded with what Joseph said, what the enemy meant for evil.
Yeah.
You know, God will turn for good. So even if things look like they're right. bad in the beginning, God is an expert, right. a genius at making that evil thing turn out to be a wonderful testimony, and his, you know, he'll do something beautiful out of it.
And what the enemy wants to do by making these threats they can't deliver is you to believe it, so you deliver it.
Yeah.
Where you stop watering the ground, you stop watering your life, you stop watering your family, you stop going to fellowship with other believers where you hear the word taught to you and preached to you, and water of God's word just sanctifies your soul. I mean, literally, and that's the only way you can do it. You got to actually give your freedom away, and you can't take it. But so often people hear the negative and they think they let go of the promises of God, and you can hold on to the promises of God. I mean, you can. It doesn't matter what people are saying, and realize your biggest test in your faith is going to be the greatest threat that's going to take away the very thing that God said you're going to have.
Just doubt. That's why he wants to sprinkle doubt on what God's doing in your life and what he wants to bring forth. That's exactly what you're saying.
That is. And so the thing is, it's called faith, keeping your faith in God and his word and his promises. And no, it doesn't matter. And you're going to see, as we talked about with Cindy Jacobs and what God revealed to her in the vision, there's going to be a lot of threats and people saying these different things. But it's for you to go, this is what God said. God said the seed of the righteous is going to rise and the seed of evil is going to come down. He said he's going to bring judgment on the evil one. And as soon as he does that, great provision is going to come. He says he's going to drain the swamp. He says he's going to, you know, we're going to be able to defend Israel. God's given him generals to be able to defend Israel so she can stay in her land. As it was then, so it is now. I mean, that's what God's going to do. Are you going to hold on to that? Are you going to just listen to these naysayers that are saying things that are contrary to that? And I know we got to go to break, but there's also one other word, Proverbs 21:30, that says, listen, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord, which means if he said this is what's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If he says, you know, you're 100 years old and your wife's 90 years old, and he says you're going to have a baby, you know, and it's going to happen.
You're going to have a baby.
You're going to have a baby. You know, you're going to, and that's what happened to Abraham, right?
That's right.
You're going to have a baby, the father of many. If he says that his word waters your soul, you know, let the word water your soul and begin to think, you know what? I'm beginning to grow things, good things in my life. Because of the washing of the water of the word. Listen, we're going to talk more about the promises of God, and hopefully we're going to encourage you to hold on. Remember those words spoken over you. Remember what God said to you. It's time to believe again and to water that word and to focus yourself. And really what's about to happen, you really got to know what God is saying, because everything that contradicts that is probably going to crank up with different immediates going on. Talking about, you know, the promises of God, and we're going to share a couple testimonies of just give you some examples, and there's so many of them that we can't even keep track of all of them. I mean, VFN TV is definitely one of those.
It's
100 countries, come on. I mean, it's amazing what God does. But think about this, you know, when you see a man, I mean, you read a contract today, You got to read the contract. The only reason you read the contract is to find the loophole in the thing, because they're looking for a way out, or they're looking for a way they can't get out. But Numbers 23:19 tells us that God's not like that. God, it says, God, this is the word of God says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man, or a human being, this particular version says, that he should change his mind. And it's important to understand that if God said it, you can bank on it.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak and then not act, or promise and not fulfill. I mean, that's unusual. I mean, right now we have a particular president that a British Parliament leader was standing up in Parliament saying he is the first politician ever criticized for making promises on the campaign trail and keeping them when he got the job. Well, obviously, he's a human being. He makes mistakes and all that. But our God is not. Our God is God. And if he says this is it, this is it. If he says that if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you ask him to forgive your sins, he's the Lord of your life, he's forgiven your sins, and you're in. I mean, that's it.
That's
you're living
it.
Your life for him. And when he promises you something, and listen, God's got a plan for your life. As so many people, John, surrender that plan for just, and they're miserable because everything they went for didn't pay off.
Mm.
Their soul is still empty. And I think about, too, 2 Corinthians 1:20, he says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. Mm. Think about that. So he keeps his word. If he said yes, the answer is yes. I think about, you know, I remember when I was a brand new believer, and we were had a school that we were taking over in our church, and we were taking pledges up for a new roof over this school because I needed a total new roof. And just by faith, you know, I just like, you know, I'm gonna make a pledge for I mean, it was $1,000, and I was the type of person, well, you know, if it doesn't come from the pennies from heaven, then I'm gonna get the money. So I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna fulfill this thing. But I was praying and believing God for it, and I was a law enforcement officer at that time, wasn't flowing in the money as if we are now. But it was coming due. It was time to pay the pledge up, and I didn't have it. You know, I prayed for it, asked for it, didn't have it, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go borrow it. I'm going to pay the pledge. I'm going to do it. It's amazing how people don't think that way with God.
No.
But I was going to, I said it, I'm going to do it. And when I went to go, I was, the week I was going to go do that, that week, God spoke to somebody when they were praying, told them specifically to come to my house and give me a check for $1,000.
Come on.
I mean, think about it.
Come on.
But, you know, it was in my heart to do it. I wasn't just like, okay, I'm not going to do it, God. If you don't care, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I was going to do that. And, of course, that building was used to touch the world, you know, for revival and some great things that took place right there. You have some testimonies?
Yeah, I do. You know,
we're talking about the promises of God, the faithfulness of God.
The Lord says that, you know, if you honor him with the tithes and offerings, that he will bless you. He will pour out the windows of heaven. And I remember that we were, you know, getting ready to have family. Actually, so many testimonies. But I remember one time really early on where God tested this for us. And I share this testimony often that it was time to pay the tithe. That was my wife and I, we've married 18 years now, but this was early on in our marriage. She wasn't working, and we were going to pay the tithe, but I knew that we didn't have enough money to cover the power bill. Mm-hmm. And so Monday she calls me, you know, pay the tithe on Sunday, said, we're just going to honor the Lord, we're going to trust God, you know, that's all we're going to do. And Monday she calls me and says, well, they're coming, and they're going to cut it off.
Right.
And I said, well, we're just going to trust God, you know, see what happens. So I wound up coming home a little bit early that day, and the mail normally runs at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, or I remember later in the evening, and I happened to see the mailman. And sure enough, I just went to the mailbox and pulled some letters out, and the very first letter I read said, this is your breakthrough, your financial breakthrough.
Wow.
And I laughed out loud. Ah! And I turned the next one, and the next letter was an actual financial gift to us. It was a check for almost the exact amount that was owed to Gulf Power. So as the guy's pulling up, I said, stop it. I've got it right here.
Oh, man. I wish I could share this. We probably don't have time to share it. But, you know, God called me into ministry. I was in business and, you know, and just everything was going good in business. But God called me. Things changed.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I struggled with the call, and I finally said, I'm going to go. I don't care if I lose everything, if everything goes, you know, I'm just going to just follow God. If all I got is my family and God, that's fine. Yeah. I could quit trying to think about this thing and just started stepping out in faith. And God moved powerfully. The ministry was being blessed. God's presence was as powerful. And I was just trusting God. I didn't know what was going to happen at that particular time. And you got to hear from God. I mean, God called me. It was confirmed through an apostle of my life. And so I'm proofing a letter. I'm walking up from my office, and my office was located at that time behind the home. And I'm walking into the house to give a letter to Donna, my wife, to proof it. And somebody was in our living room crying. And I'm like, you know, ministry mode. I'm like, are you saying everything okay? Is everything all right? And she says, tell him what you said. And he goes, well, I came here to give you this check. This is the right thing to do. And it was for $80,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Dollars.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was the very thing that we needed to be able to pay our house down to where we only owed, like at that time, maybe about, because of that, like $9,000 or something on our house, which enabled us to be in ministry. And, I mean, God spoke to this person, and I'm like, are you sure now? You need to make sure this is right. Like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, this is the right thing to do. And God, I didn't know all about it. I just trusted God. God said it. I was willing to give up everything for him. And he came and did this miracle on our behalf. Listen, you can hold on to what God says. So many people are trying to figure it out in their heads. They're trying to hack life. They're trying to sneak around and instead of just do the work and trust God and have faith in what he says. And God loves you.
That's right.
God's got a plan for your life. If he said it, you can count on it. And just like the water came down in Africa and watered the ground and brought life, the word of God and the promises of God will do the same thing to your life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.